Our subject now is the new birth. After taking our stand firmly on the foundation of knowing God, what's needed in these perilous times is recreation, which requires the Creator. Nothing short of recreation will do. And no one less than the Creator can accomplish this work. There's something that I want you to understand. Please understand this. Salvation, by which the new birth is accomplished, is creation and requires God and creation power. I want to repeat that. Salvation, the plan of salvation by which the new birth is accomplished, is creation. And it requires God and creation power to accomplish it. You see, humanity has a problem, a serious problem. Humanity is in a position and in a condition that it cannot recover itself from. Sin, which is disobedience and rebellion against God, has disconnected humanity from divinity and thereby has destroyed the spiritual nature and character of God within mankind. The union between humanity and divinity has been broken. Selfishness has taken the place of what God originally created in humankind, which is an unselfish nature. Selfishness is now on the throne. Men live for themselves and unto themselves. They give their own self, their own concerns, their own wants and desires and pleasures first place in their life. Selfishness is first in the nature, the fallen nature of sinful, fallen humanity. But God declares, you must be born again. Something and someone totally new has to be born within you. Something and someone else, someone totally new, new in spirit, new in character, new in nature, new in heart, new in mind, must be created within you. Now, let me tell you something that is a sobering reality. What a person is before they come to God, what a person is when they come to God, must die. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and die we must. But God has provided a way for us. We do not need to die the eternal death. That is our due. But God has provided a way for us through the plan of salvation that we can die by His hand and be resurrected, a new creation. I want to read the words of Jesus in John chapter 3 and verses 3 through 8. It talks about the process that God and God alone does. It's talking about a process that God and God alone is the one who is able to do. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What is Jesus telling us in these words? Verse 3 is very clear. Jesus says, Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot enter, he will not enter the kingdom of God. Something must occur first before he is prepared to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus says that he must be born again. He must be born again. Otherwise, he cannot see. There is no exceptions. He cannot enter. There are no exceptions to this. He must be born again. The Bible says that the gentleman who asked Jesus a question says to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's thinking on the physical level. But Jesus is talking about something spiritual. Jesus is not talking about a man physically entering the second time into his biological mother's womb. He's talking spiritually here. And he says in verse 5, Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I want you to note something here. That biblical baptism is twofold. There is one baptism, but it's twofold. One baptism, but there are two aspects to this one baptism. Born of the water, number one. Born of the Spirit, number two. The fruit of number one. A number of things in the Bible are one, but yet twofold. Righteousness, which God gives to us as a gift, is first imputed to us or given to us as a gift, put next to our name in the record books of heaven. Perfect righteousness is placed there beside our name in heaven. But that same righteousness which is imputed is also imparted into us. It's twofold. Even in the creation of mankind. There's one man, but he's two entities. One man, two persons, male and female, yet one man. The Bible, in many different things, talks about one, yet that one embraces more than one aspect. God himself is one God, yet more than one person. Baptism. There is but one baptism, yet there are two aspects of this one baptism. Born of the water, born of the Spirit. We must be baptized by water, and we must be baptized by the Spirit. I want you to note that in verse 6, the Bible says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. One of the most amazing texts in all of the Bible. By God's grace, He changes us into something different. We may not look different. We may not necessarily feel so different. But God says that that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's a new life. There's a new person. There's a new power within that begins to grow and manifest itself without, in character, in words, in deeds, in thought. In every respect, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And again, Jesus says in verse 7, and this is Him reiterating for the third time, that you must be born again. You know, when God repeats something two and three times, He's making clear to us the absolute necessity of it. There is no getting around this reality. You must be born again. It's not an option. It's not something that can be omitted. You must be born again, Jesus says. And let me tell you something about water baptism. Water baptism prepares us for the baptism of the Spirit. Water baptism signifies something very, very important. And we're going to deal with that in just a moment. Because without water baptism, you will never be prepared for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, God says, and He points out and He makes clear to us that the work that He does is mysterious. It's invisible. It is not tangible. It is unexplainable. Yet it is real. It is an actual process that God does by His creative power in us, which makes us new creations. Us being baptized in water does not in and of itself change us. God changes us. There's no miracle in the man who baptizes you. There's no miracle power in water. The miracle power is obeying God. And God does the work. His power is present, which recreates. Because we obey Him and do what He says, then He supplies the reality. He works the miracle. He told a man one day who was blind to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man washed, and the Bible says he came seeing. There was no miracle in the pool of Siloam. There was no miracle in that water. The miracle came when the man obeyed God. When he obeyed Jesus, he did what Jesus said to, and he came again seeing. So it is with baptism. If we will obey God, then He will go to work in us, recreating us in His own image after His own likeness. And I want to point out that baptism, water baptism, means, first of all, that we pay the debt that we owe for our sins. That is, we die. It symbolizes us being put to death. It symbolizes us dying for our sins. God's Spirit moves over us. It gives us the spirit of repentance. That too is a gift. It works in our hearts that we're sorry for our sins and for our evil. And we confess them. And we come to God. We confess every one of them. Not a one do we hold on to. We repent. We confess every sin, every known sin. And we come to God in baptism, signifying that we're paying the debt that we owe for sin, death. And that same God who performs this work in us, the same God who crucifies us and puts us to death, is the same God who cleanses us from sin. That's also what water baptism signifies, being washed free from your sins. Being washed free from the power of sin and the guilt of sin and the condemnation of sin. Washed, cleansed from your sins. And then by that same power, we are resurrected into a new life. Baptism doesn't mean freedom to sin. It means freedom from sin. It doesn't mean that the old man is now at liberty to do whatever he wants to do and still go to heaven. It means that he is dead. He no longer exists. He is destroyed. A new life is created. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He's a new man. He's born again. He's born of the Spirit. He's washed in the blood. He is a new creature. He's at liberty to live right. He has been empowered to live in harmony with God. It doesn't mean that he will not make a mistake. It does not mean that he will not fall short. It means that the habitual tendencies of his life is that he lives for God. He doesn't practice sin knowingly. He doesn't practice sin willingly and openly and persistently and consistently. That is not the pattern of his life. The old has passed away. There may be an occasional mistake, perhaps a very foul and bad mistake, but that is not the pattern of his life. The pattern of his life is that he lives unto God. He lives after God. He lives in obedience to God. He's born again. Jesus says you must be born again. Born of the water. Born of the Spirit. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You might not be able to explain what has occurred in you. It might be invisible. It is not tangible. It may be mysterious to a large degree, but it is the work of God. And the fact is, it's actual, it's real, and it has occurred, and it does manifest itself in your life and in your being. I want to look over at Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to look at verses 3 through 11. And the Bible says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Baptism by water, born of the water. It's real, the Bible says. Believe, know that you are dead. Verse 11 here says you are dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Alive unto God means you have power to obey. You have power. You have been enabled to live godly. You live righteously. You live righteousness. In spite of your mistakes that you will make, your habitual tendencies is to live righteously. You serve God. You obey God. If you fall, you repent. You confess. You get up. You go on. But the habitual tendency of your life is to live godly in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says here in Romans 6, verses 11. It says it also, it reiterates it in verse 10. It says, we live unto God. We live to God, saints. We don't live to serve sin. We do not serve sin. We are dead to sin, the Bible says. This is what you have to believe. This is what you must understand. And God will make it a reality. The Bible says in verse 7 in Romans 6 that ye are dead and you are freed from sin. We have to understand that we are free from sin. God sets us at liberty. We're no longer slaves to it. We're no longer servants to the flesh and to the world and to sin. If you are a servant of sin, if you are constrained by the evil that resides within you and it forces you, as it were, to sin, then you are not free. You need to go back, find the Lord, know the Lord, and be freed from sin. In verse 6, it says that the old man, the old character, the old mind, the old habits, the old ways, the old tendencies and propensities are crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed. The old man is crucified. He's destroyed. Therefore, we no longer have to serve sin. We are freed from sin. We're free from the power of sin, from the guilt of sin, from the condemnation of sin, from practicing sin, from living in sin. Though we may make a mistake from time to time, yet we do not serve sin. We serve God. And these things I write unto you, the Bible says, that ye sin not. But if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if you will confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Christians who are born again live godly in Christ Jesus. They do not serve sin. Praise the Lord. The Bible points out to us something very important. It's something that has been misinterpreted and kicked aside by too many false religious teachers, teachers who are teaching falsehood. The Bible says, buried by baptism. That's in verse 4. Buried with him by baptism into death. You know, when one is buried, they are put under the ground. We have never seen yet a burial taking place by simply sprinkling a little dust on the casket or just sprinkling a little dust over the face of the dead person. They're buried. That means they're put under the ground, totally and absolutely under the ground. Baptism is by immersion. Jesus set that example for us when he came to this earth. He was baptized by immersion. The Bible says, coming up out of the water, he was immersed under the water. Baptized by immersion. That is the proper way. God wants us to understand that the total of all that we are has to die. It has to be buried. Verse 3 in Romans chapter 6 says, we are baptized into his death. We are buried. The Lord crucifies us and he buries us. He buries the old, it stays buried. He resurrects and brings forth something new, something totally new, something completely new. And we praise God for it. The Bible really hammers this point. There is no need for any to be confused. Too often we are led by the teachings and doctrines of men, not the truth of the Bible. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Too many false religions, too many false teachers have taught us that water baptism isn't necessary. Only the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if we are not baptized by water, then we are not prepared to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We haven't been washed free from our sins. We haven't paid the debt that we owe, the death of self and sin. We must, according to what Jesus said, receive the complete package of baptism, born of the water and of the Spirit. Born of the water comes first. It prepares us to be born of the Spirit. If we are not crucified and put to death, if that old man is not slain and buried, we are not prepared to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why so many and so many churches of today come in church, they faint, dance and sing and shout, only to leave out the church door to live in sin, live in adultery, live in fornication. They hate their neighbor. They don't go out and be a witness for Christ all week. They go out and serve themselves, destroying even their own body with cigarettes and alcohol, those things which destroy the temple of God. God says, ye are the temple of the living God. He who destroys the temple of the living God, him shall God destroy. They live in this type of way, yet every time they come in church, they claim what they have is the Spirit, and they do all of these manifestations. They speak in what they call tongues, unknown tongues. Yes, it's unknown. It's unknown to God. It's unknown to the devil. It's unknown to them. It's unknown to any and everybody. Yes, they have a spirit, but it is not the Spirit of God. It is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is a spirit. The Bible in Revelation talks about the synagogue of Satan. Churches that think that they are Church of Christ, but they are actually the synagogue of Satan. Whole churches, whole denominations in our world today are but the synagogue of Satan. They have instituted their own gospel, their own methods. They want to baptize being changed and just move instantly into being baptized with the Holy Spirit. They want God to baptize the old man. They don't want the old man to be crucified. They want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. God says that we have to be baptized by the water first. That means the old man has to be crucified. He has to be put aside. He has to be put to death. He has to be destroyed. Something new has to be born. And then and only then is the person ready for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We must be baptized into Christ so that we can put on a new heart, a new mind, a new nature, a new spirit, a new way of life. We begin to live the life of Christ. We don't live in sin. We live in obedience to Christ. We put on Christ. Why? We've been baptized into Christ, into his life, into his spirit. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "Buried with him in baptism." Again, that concept of buried in baptism. Buried with him in baptism. That's immersion. You're put under the water. You must die. You must go under the ground. It's a dead body. It has to go under the ground. It has to go under and stay under. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. The Bible calls baptism, being born of the water and of the Spirit, the operation of God. And truly that it is an operation that only God can do. It is an operation that only God has the power to do. No being in all of the universe can perform this operation. It is the work of God. The Bible calls it the operation of God. God does the work. He may use a man to baptize you, but it's God doing the work. He may use water as a symbol of the grave that you must go down into, but God is doing the work, not the water. And when you come up, you come up a new creation, a new creature, born again. Spirit you are. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Spirit you are, and with the Holy Spirit you are now ready to be baptized. But before you are baptized in the water, you are not ready to be baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The operation of God, the Bible calls it in Colossians 2:12. This is the greatest of all miracles. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, he gave sight to the blind. He healed people who were cripples. He healed a man who was born a cripple. He healed a man who was born blind. He raised the physically dead. But the greatest of all miracles is God exercising his creation power. That's what salvation is. God exercising his creation power to make a sinner a saint, to transform a fallen human being, a sinner, into a son of God. That's creation, recreation. The incarnation of Christ exemplifies the work that God does for us and with us and in us. The incarnation of Christ. When I say incarnation, I'm talking about the process by which God and mankind were made one. That's the incarnation. Divinity clothed itself with humanity. That is the incarnation. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verses 1 through 4, and then verse 14, speaks about the incarnation in these words. And it's so fitting as we're talking about the baptism that God puts us under the operation of God, the transformation that God must take us through. Otherwise, we can't enter the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Ah, that's the living Word. Not the written Word, it's the living Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When the Word is made flesh in us, it will be full of grace and truth. Not falsehood, not the theories of men, not the doctrines of men, but truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's not what my pastor says, what my bishop says. It's what the Lord says. What is a thus saith the Lord? What is a it is written? What does the Bible teach me about baptism? Not what tradition teaches me. Not what my organization, my religious organization teaches me, but what does God teach me? We see here, speaking of the incarnation of Christ, we see that the Word, who is a person, who is God. It also points out that He was in the beginning. No question, He's God if He was in the beginning. It also points out that all things were made by Him. That means that the Word of God is Creator. The Word was God. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was the Creator. He created all things. And then in verse 4 it says, in Him was life. That means He's the life giver. And this life was the light of men. Oh, God within, the Word within, this light, which is life, has to be within. That's our light and life. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh. That was the process that God the Father used with God the Word in the process of the incarnation. That's the same process He uses with you and I. The Word made flesh, as we apply it to us as human beings, means that the Word must be made flesh in you. Christ must be formed in you. You must know God and have intercourse with God. He must impregnate you with His seed, the living Word. The Word must be made flesh. You are the flesh in which the divinity of God is clothed. The miracle of all miracles is performed in you. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You become something new. Something different. You don't serve sin. There's a power working from the inside out. It is internal. It grows. It must mature. It has to learn. But the Word made flesh means that the Word is made flesh in you. That's what the New Covenant points to. It's Hebrews 8, verses 10 through 12. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and in their heart will I write them. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. and I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. When we confess our sins and forsake them, when we repent by God's grace and confess and forsake our sins, God says He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. That's baptism. He does that job in us. He does that work in us. It's a work that only He can do when we submit ourselves to Him, when we obey Him and come to Him in baptism. The full picture of baptism. The baptism of water and of the Spirit. The baptism of water is first. We have to know the Lord. We have to be intimate with God. We have to have spiritual intercourse with God. We do that by being obedient. We do that by coming to Him in baptism. We have literal spiritual intercourse with God by coming to Him in baptism. He impregnates us. He crucifies the old man. He puts him to death. He buries him. He resurrects a new creature. He imparts within the soul temple His seed, something new. It's spirit and it is life. God says, I will write what I am. I will write my law in their hearts and on their minds. That's what I will do. God says, all of you, not just the bishop, the pastor, the elder, the leader, but all shall know me from the least to the greatest. That's the new covenant. We all must know God. We all must be changed. Mark 16, in verse 16, Jesus tells us something there, and it's a reason for Him telling us this. We've already reviewed it, but we'll reiterate it in ending. Mark 16:16 says, He that believeth and is baptized, I'm going to repeat that, he that believeth and is baptized. I'm going to repeat that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall not be saved. He shall be damned. He that believes, the person that truly believes, will be baptized. The person who says that they believe, but they don't truly believe, will not be baptized. They feel like Cain, the second son of Adam. God said, offer a sacrifice. He told the sons of Adam the type of sacrifice to offer. Abel brought the proper sacrifice. He brought to God what God said bring. He brought to God an offering, a lamb. Cain decided that he was going to obey God, but he was going to obey God his way. So he brought to Him the first fruits of his crops. God did not accept his offering, and he was angry. And because he was angry that God did not accept his offering, he killed his brother, Abel. And such is the religion that many of us have today. We have the religion of Cain. We want to do what God says our way, not the way that God says do it. God says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why do we have to be baptized? Why is that necessary? Because God said so. But further, the old man has to be crucified. The old man is not to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He has to go. He has to die. He has to be destroyed first. God has to work that process. That's part of the process. The old has to go. The old heart, the old mind, the old tendency, the old way of life, the old thinking, the old habits. Everything has to die. It has to be buried. It has to be destroyed. Something new has to be resurrected. Then it is prepared to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. We've got to decide in our mind to to do what God says do. We need to study the Word so that we understand the truth, and the truth shall set us free. We need to understand baptism aright, and understand that it's twofold. Baptism of the water and of the Spirit. We must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Born of the water prepares us to be born of the Spirit. Born of the water allows us to pay the debt we owe for sin, death. It allows us to be cleansed from sin. Washes away our sin. Washes away our old man. Washes away that which enslaves us. Washes away the power of sin. Washes away all that is not like God. And then it resurrects us new creations. That new man that is ready to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because after all, that new man that was born of the Spirit is Spirit. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, help us to know the truth so that the truth can set us free. Bless us to let go of tradition and error. We may have believed it for a very long time, but oh Lord, help us. Like the Jews of old who believed error that was hoary with age, yet when the Christ came, he taught them the truth, and he taught them that the truth will set you free. Lord, help us this day. Help us to know we have to live for God. Salvation is creation, and it is a setting free from sin. We are at liberty not to sin, and we are free to live in righteousness and in right doing. We are empowered to live right. Lord, help us to see this. Give us your Spirit in a double portion even now. Bless us, keep us, change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.